I just returned a short time ago from Nicaragua. We have a project there, actually two projects, and we got out of there just before the uprising took place. There's political unrest. There's been over 200 people killed recently in Nicaragua, right in the area that we were involved in. But the Bible Society in Nicaragua have 300 volunteers that are broken up into teams, and they have an amazing ministry there. First of all, in a children's hospital, we visited the hospital. There were 257 children, all of them with leukemia or brain tumors. Very, very sad, very emotional to go into that place. But here's the good news. They have an 85 to 90% success rate in that hospital. And the question, obviously, that I had was, you know, we have the best of facilities in Canada. We have the best of equipment, medicine, and all the rest. And we don't have that kind of success rate. How come you do? And the young doctor, the chief oncologist, said to me, you need to know that these Bible Society volunteers come into this hospital every day. They pray with the children. They pray with the parents. They pray with our medical teams. And she looked me right in the eye and said, you know, my job as an oncologist is not one bit more important than these volunteers who come in to pray. And together, that's the reason we're having the success rate that we do. Amazing, amazing, these committed people. And so while we were there, we had the privilege to do the same, to go into the hospital, to pray with the children, with their families, and the medical teams. The chief staff at the hospital there, the doctor, called us in his office. So there were six of us on our team. He said, I'd like you to gather around me and pray for me and my leadership in the hospital. And then he called in eight medical students, and he said, I'd like you to pray for our medical students. An amazing experience. This is the type of thing that you're supporting in Nicaragua. The other very quick update, all of you are aware of the terrible Humboldt hockey team crash in Saskatchewan just a while back. the response around the world enabled them to raise in excess of $15 million in the GoFundMe page. I woke up one morning a little over a month ago and thought, that's amazing that they have that financial support, but money's not going to cut it. As time goes on, there's going to be a loneliness, an emptiness, and a real sense of loss in their lives. To make a long story short, we've just recently had 29 Bibles made with the Humboldt logo on them, and then the names of each of the young people that died and the names of those who survived. And I'm just waiting. They're just being engraved now. And as soon as that's done, I'll be driving to Humboldt. I'll be meeting with the chaplain there. And we're going to distribute these Bibles to each of the families. That's what they need even more than money. And I trust that you'll join us in prayer that God will fulfill his promise, that his word will not return void, but that these people will come to faith and trust as a result of God's word. So that's just two current projects. I could do a whole hour on Bible Society ministry. I've been with them now for 16 years and should be retired, but I love the ministry, love the work, and I just keep going. But thank you so much for your support, your faithful support from this church. Thank you for the scripture that was just shared. I would like to share a message this morning. And the scripture verse is taken from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says this: this is God's will for your life. This is God's plan for you and for me. Regardless of circumstances, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We had the previous scripture read, which was about all the things that the Apostle Paul had to go through, all the struggles and battles that he faced. I want to somehow this morning encourage you and say to you that in the midst of whatever it is in your life, you are called to give thanks. I had a cousin, his name was Richard. He was my mother's sister's son. He was the only child in the family. Richard and I were born just a few months apart, grew up together, hung out as teenagers. And later in life, I went off to university. He decided that he was going to be the third generation in the family business. His grandfather, his father, owned a carpet flooring business in a small town in the Annapolis Valley in Nova Scotia. Richard and I kept in touch. his wife Sharon and my wife Catherine. We kept in touch over the years. They were married about 4 years and discovered that they were unable to have children. Very disappointing, so they put in for adoption. And it didn't seem to take that long. And they got the wonderful news that this infant little boy was available to them. He was about 3 months old, and Richard used to come home for lunch from work because he just wanted to spend more time with this little guy. Came home one day, had lunch, talked to his wife about how happy he was that their family was complete. They had this little boy in their lives. Had lunch, got up from the table, went into the washroom. Sharon said, "I heard a thump." I went in, and he was dead. Shock to us, shock to the whole family, obviously a shock to his wife. And then, where does this fit in? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, good, bad, tragic, whatever, give thanks. I did Richard's funeral. Sharon said, "Rez, there's something I need to tell you before you do his funeral." I said, "Okay." She said, I think it's good news. In the midst of my loss, I need to share this with you." I said, "Okay, what is it?" And I don't know much about Amway. I haven't even heard that company in recent years, but a few years ago, you'd hear people involved in Amway. Well, Richard and his wife Sharon were in that. And she said, about a month and a half ago, we went to an Amway convention somewhere in the States. On the Sunday morning, they had a church service. An invitation was given, and Richard went forward and gave his heart to the Lord. And she said, in the midst of this, I need to say thank you. Think about it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My best friend just retired. That's why I say I should be retired. But my best friend just retired from Ambrose University here in Calgary. And we've been friends for over 40 years. I was there when his children were born. I remember being my nose pressed against the nursery window and the nurse trying to decide who was the father, Don or myself. And so I was there when Krista was born, and then 3 years later I was there when Matthew was born. Same thing, I was at the nursery window, all excited and sharing in their excitement. At 17, Krista was diagnosed with breast cancer, very unusual for a 17-year-old. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. 3 years later, the battle was over. She lost the battle and died at 20. Don said to me, I had asked God for two things. One, that he would heal her. If not, he would give me peace by taking her. And he said, I haven't got either one of those. I feel abandoned. I feel abandoned. What does the scripture say? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Don went through a period of almost 3-4 months, and then one day he picked up that poem that all of us have read about the seashore walking on the beach, and there was only one set of footprints, and he said, I've realized now that God has been carrying me. And he found the peace that he needed. And he said, now I can say in everything, give thanks. I'm thankful that Krista was a devout Christian. I'm thankful that I know where she is. I'm thankful for the memories that we have. All of this together, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't know what you might be going through this morning. Maybe some tragedies just like this have happened in your life. But the verse is the same. This is the will of God for you, to give thanks. 1 month ago, I got a call. I pastored in Brampton, Ontario for almost 12 years. And while I was there, there was a young woman in the church who had two little girls. She'd been divorced. The girls were probably 3 and 5 at the time. And she'd been divorced. She was a single mom, making it on her own. She had the two girls. Melissa was the oldest, and Michelle was the second. And 1 month ago, Michelle and Melissa were both married. Melissa had a 9-year-old daughter, and for years wanted more children. Got all excited when they found out she was pregnant with twins. And a month ago, gave birth to a little boy and a little girl. They couldn't have been happier. babies were well over 5 pounds each, doing well. So they went home. Melissa was home. They'd been home almost a week. And one night, Richie, her husband, said, Melissa screamed. She was in the washroom. She screamed. I went in. She collapsed right there, and she died. Here he is left with a 9-year-old and a twins, a boy and a girl. Devastating. Devastating. I knew them well, so I went to Toronto. They lived in Toronto. I went to Toronto, and I met with Melissa's mother. Again, the girls were just little girls in the Sunday school. And I said, Peggy, where is God in this? Where is God in this? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. She said, Reg, I need to tell you, I'm not mad at God. I'm not mad at God. I am asking, why Melissa at 37? Why not me at 63? She said, I'm asking those questions. But she said, you know what? In all of this, we've seen so many people come forward to help us. So many people that have been supportive. So many people praying for us. And she began to list the things that she was thankful for. It is the will of God, my friends this morning, it's the will of God that in everything we give thanks. Well, how do you do that? And this is the essence of the message this morning. I want you to do, how do we give thanks when our lives are like that? I would say to you, first of all, we can give thanks by remembering that those circumstances are temporary. Those circumstances are temporary. My daughter, like all of us, is on Facebook, and the caption that she keeps on her Facebook page is, Earth is now, heaven is forever. Earth is now, heaven is forever. We can remember, we can cope, and we can get through it, and we can give thanks by remembering that these issues that we're in the midst of are temporary. Scottish minister Alexander White was known for his uplifting prayers in the pulpit. He always found something to be thankful for. One Sunday morning, the weather was stormy and dark, and one of the deacons said, the preacher won't be able to thank God for anything on a day like this. It's absolutely horrible outside. But much to his surprise, Reverend White began the service by praying, we thank thee, O God, that it's not always like this. You see? Remember, when the storms of life come, and when life is a struggle for you, that it's not always going to be like this. In fact, there are far more days without storms, when you stop and think about it, than there are with the storms. If we count our blessings, I believe that they will far exceed our burdens. In everything, give thanks. We can do that by remembering that the circumstances currently are temporary. Secondly, by remembering that they are testimonial. We go through these experiences for a reason, and God can use us to be a testimony to others. In 2 Thessalonians 1:4, we read, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions. Paul says in Philippians 1:25, but you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And I remind you this morning that the difficulties that we endure in this life are not only an opportunity for us to mature, they are not only teaching us, but God may be using them as a testimony to others. And you know, and I know, some of the Christians who have had the most difficult challenges in their life, physically, emotionally, who have really struggled, have had some of the strongest testimonies. Their faith has stood out and been a blessing to others. So the question is, what kind of sermon am I preaching in my suffering? What kind of testimony am I leaving in the midst of the difficulties of my life? The scripture says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. By remembering that they can be testimonial. Was 1636, a long time ago, in the midst of the darkness of the 30 Years' War, a German pastor, Martin Rinkard, is said to have buried 5,000 of his parishioners in that 1 year. There was an average of 15 funerals a day. His parish was ravaged by war, death, and economic disaster. In the heart of the darkness, with the cries of fear outside his window, he sat down and he wrote this table grace for his family. Some of you may be familiar with it. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done in whom the world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. In the midst of something like that, to write a poem, to write a song of gratitude and thanks. We can give thanks in circumstances by remembering that they are also transforming. It's part of the plan. God wants to transform our lives. You're familiar with the story of Corrie Ten Boom. She was in the Nazi concentration camp. The barracks that she stayed in was number 28. It was infested with fleas. It was almost unbearable. But one night she read the passage which we have read today, "In everything give thanks." And Corrie's sister, who was in the barracks with her, said, "God wants us to thank him for the fleas." Corrie's response was, "No way, no way. That's taking religion just a little bit too far, and I'm not going to thank God for these infernal fleas." After a while, the nightly Bible studies that they were holding secretly in their barracks attracted more and more women. And Corrie became concerned that they would get caught. So one day, she asked one of the ladies who attended the Bible study, "Why don't the Nazis ever come in and check on us? They check all the other barracks," the lady replied. "They don't come here. It's because of the fleas. They won't come near the place for that reason." And then Corrie remembered the verse and said, "God, thank you for the fleas. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Well, can you thank God for the fleas in your life this morning? For the things that bug you, the things can we say, realize that those things are used by God to transform us into being more like his son, Jesus. And we can give thanks by remembering that these experiences are teachers for our lives. It's been said that if it were not for the darkness, we would never see the stars. If it were not for the rain, we'd never see the beauty of the rainbow. Gospel singer wrote it this way: "If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them, and I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word." Taking the difficulties of life and giving thanks. They teach us patience, these experiences. They teach us perseverance to keep carrying on. They teach us to pray. Oh, how many people have fallen to their knees? People who've never prayed before when the circumstances have been life-changing for them. They teach us to pray. They teach us to pity. They teach us to understand others. To feel pain or grief for one in distress and to have sympathy for others. Someone has said, "He knows the water best who has waded through it." They teach us his pain. We can thank God for his blessings even during the midst of the struggles and the pain and suffering by remembering the past. They want us to look back in history and remember what God has done for us. And thinking of that, I'd like to read from Luke chapter 23 these words. Luke chapter 23, beginning to read at verse 26. Luke 23, verse 26. We're looking at a terrible experience here, but I want you to look at the good that came out of it. Luke chapter 23, beginning to read it, verse 26, down to the end of 43. And they led him away. They see Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be persecuted. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the God, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There it was written, notice above him, which read, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Jesus was crucified on a cross. He gave his life, he suffered and died. But in everything give thanks. I'm so thankful that Jesus did that for you and for me. One of the darkest moments of life, the darkest moments of history. But look what's come out of it. That's why you're sitting here this morning. Because of the price that Jesus paid. In everything, nothing excluded, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't know this morning if you're in the valley. Some of you could be. We don't know what the person sitting next to us is going through even this very moment. Some of you might be in the valley. I hope that many of you are on the mountain in your faith. You're rejoicing. Life is good. Things are going well. But you need to remember that the God of the mountain is also the God of the valley. I shared part of this message last week at a church in Calgary, and a man came up to me after the service and he said, "There's not a doubt in my mind that God sent you here this morning." And I said, "Why?" He said, "This past week I buried my wife." And he said, She took her own life. She lost everything, her hope, and she took her own life. I put my arms around him and I said, "You know," he said, I'm going to find some good in this. Somehow, I'm going to thank God, because I know what you said. It's his will that I thank God in the midst of even the loss of my wife this week." Again, I don't know where you are this morning, in the valley or on the mountain. It doesn't really matter. I'd like to pray for you. I'd like you to stand, and I'd like to say a special prayer for you. So just stand again. Our Father, we thank you this morning that you know us better than anyone else does. You know our hearts and our lives. You know every individual in this service this morning. We believe in the sovereignty and the providence of God that's brought us together. We thank you for your word that gives clear, very clear instruction that it is the will of God that we give thanks. And I pray for that one or two or maybe three people who are in the valley this morning. Bring encouragement to their hearts through your word, I pray. May they find renewed faith and renewed encouragement to carry on. And Father, for those who are rejoicing on the mountaintop today, we thank you for them. We pray that their hearts would be such that when the valley comes, they will still find gratitude towards you. Thank you again for the time to share together. I pray your richest blessing upon this young pastor's family and upon the congregation here in Cremona. Bless them, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.